Our first reading this morning takes us right into the heart of Palm Sunday. Matthew tells the story of Jesus entering Jerusalem, not on a war horse, but on a humble donkey. It's a moment full of joy, expectation, and surprise, as the crowds welcome a king who doesn't look like any king they've ever known. So let us hear from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 21, verses 1 to 11.
When they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say this, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them immediately." This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and that followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" The crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." Thanks be to God.
Thank you. "Look, I wasn't even supposed to be here. My cousin Eli said, 'Come on, you've got to see this teacher from Nazareth. He's amazing.' And before I knew it, he'd practically hauled me out of the door. I thought we were going to get bread or something. Next thing I know, I'm in the middle of a crowd that's getting louder and louder by the minute. And then he appears. What a donkey! I blinked a few times, thinking maybe there was a horse behind him, or a chariot, or anything. But no, just a donkey. A small one too. The kind you use to carry firewood. Not a king." People started shouting, "Hosanna!" and waving branches like this was the greatest parade Jerusalem had ever seen. Eli shoved a palm branch into my hand and told me to wave it. So I did, mostly to avoid being hit by the person behind me who was really enthusiastic. But honestly, I kept thinking, this is the big moment. This is what I got dragged out for. And yet, he didn't look ridiculous. That's the part that unsettled me. Anyone else riding that donkey would have looked like they'd lost a bet. But he sat there with this calm, steady presence, like he knew exactly what he was doing and didn't need the theatrics. He glanced my way, just briefly. And I felt this odd tug in my heart, like he saw right through me, right through my reluctance, and wasn't offended in the slightest. Still, I'm not saying I understand it. Kings don't usually arrive on donkeys. But something about him made the whole scene feel strange, maybe even intentional. like the donkey wasn't a mistake, but a message. I'm still not sure what the message is, mind you. But I suppose that what happens when you let Eli drag you to places, you end up waving branches at a king who refuses to act like one. I got told there was going to be young people here this morning, and I was going to dress one of them up, but we'll have to improvise this morning, okay? So, the question is, have you ever been to a parade? That's the first question. Who has seen a parade? Hands up, good, okay. What sort of things have you seen?
Floats,
driving trucks pulling trailers along with various different things on the back, bands, maybe playing music and all sort of things like that, isn't it? They're loud, and sometimes they're followed with these shiny cars, brand new, expensive things that we could never dream of affording, or even better still, those really ancient things that we could never dream of affording or owning. Some person has lovingly restored because it comes from the 1930s or the 1940s. Now, if a king was to come here into Market Harborough, how do you think he would arrive? Okay, I can tell you how he'd arrive because I used to live near Windsor, okay? And when the Queen used to arrive, I can tell you. 8 or 9 outriders come flying down the road, blocking roads off so you can't actually go anywhere. Then a couple of police cars, and then the Rolls Royce with them sat in the back, and then another couple of key police cars behind that, and then a couple more outriders behind that. And this big parade of cars coming through and motorbikes coming through. But Jesus did none of that, did he? Instead, he chose something different. He chose a donkey. I said I'd brought a donkey, didn't I? Okay, he chose a donkey. Something small. He didn't choose a massive, great, big steed or a chariot or a carriage like you see them using when it's something special in London and you see all the real royal coaches going around. He chose a donkey. And he didn't wear a fancy cloak. See, this is where I was going to dress a child up, you see. I was going to make them wear the cloak. He didn't come wearing a fancy cloak. Instead, he came in his everyday clothes. But what happened is people threw cloaks on the floor in front of him. I remember watching a comedy film a few years ago where this lady comes across the street and there's a puddle. So a man throws his cloak, a coat, over the puddle for the lady to walk over. And when she steps, she ends up neck deep in the puddle. But no, we have a cloak. He doesn't come to show off. He doesn't come to be seen as something important. He doesn't come. See, again, I need a little one because this doesn't quite fit on my head. He doesn't come wearing a crown. He comes as an ordinary person, something so unremarkable. Yet, he came as an upside-down king, someone who turns everything upside down in the best way possible. And in that morning, when he rode into Jerusalem, they all shouted, "Hosanna," which means "to God save us" or "God help us." So let us practice our celebration as we all together shout, "Hosanna." Let's hear it. Hosanna. Once more, nearly loud. Hosanna.
I like the bit about the upside down king. But the upside king was one we're going to read about now, and his humility. And this is from Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 to 11, imitating Christ's humility. In our relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant and being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen.
Thank you. Palm Sunday is a strange morning. It begins with a parade, joyful, noisy, full of expectation, and yet it leads us straight towards the cross. It's a day of celebration and misunderstanding, of hope and confusion. At the centre of it all is Jesus riding into Jerusalem in a way that nobody expected. Matthew tells us that Jesus sent two disciples to fetch a donkey and a colt. It's such an ordinary, almost comic detail. Not a war horse, not a chariot, not even a respectable mule, but a donkey. The everyday animal of farmers and travellers. And yet Matthew is clear, and it's deliberate. This is how the king chooses to arrive. The crowds get caught up in the moment. They shout, Hosanna! They lay down their cloaks and branches. They're ready for a king. But perhaps not this kind of king. They want victory, liberation, a dramatic overthrow of the powers that oppress them. They're still under the rule of Rome. But Jesus comes in humility, not in weakness, but humility. A strength that doesn't need to shout, a courage that doesn't need to dominate, a love that refuses to use force. And this is the first glimpse of our theme this morning, the upside down king. And then we hear Paul's words to the Philippians, that beautiful hymn of the early church. And Paul invites us to let the same mind be in us that was in Jesus Christ. And then he describes what that mind looks like. Jesus, though he was in a form of God, he emptied himself. He took on the form of a servant. He humbled himself, even to the point of death on that cross. A donkey wasn't a one-off moment of humility. It was actually the shape of his whole life. The crowds wanted a king who would take power. But Jesus came as a king who would give power away. The world expected a ruler who would crush enemies. But Jesus came as a savior who would forgive them. The world wanted a throne, but Jesus chose a cross. This is the upside-down kingdom, where greatness is measured in service, where victory looks like sacrifice, where love is stronger than violence, and where humility is not a sign of weakness, but it's at the very heart of God. And here is the good news. Jesus comes to us in humility because he wants to meet us where we are. Not where we pretend to be. Not where we wish we were. And Cape Town is looking very, very, very good right now. Not where we think a proper Christian should be. But he comes to us in the ordinary places. On that dusty road. On the back of a donkey. In the mess and noise of real life. He comes to us, not with demands, but with an invitation. Not with judgment, but with mercy. Not with force, but with love. And because he comes in humility, we don't have to be impressive. We don't have to have it all together. And the big secret is we don't have to hide our failures or our fears. The upside-down king meets us in our humanity, and he lifts us up. Paul doesn't let us stay comfortable. Let the same mind be in you, he says. Jesus is the upside-down king. Well, that means we are called to be the upside-down followers. That means choosing to live with humility in a world that rewards self-promotion. Choosing gentleness in a culture that prizes dominance. Choosing service when everything in us wants us to be served. And choosing forgiveness when resentment feels easier. Choosing compassion when cynicism feels safer. It means asking, where is God inviting me to step off the warhorse and onto the donkey? Where is God calling me to slow down, to listen, to let go of pride and take the lower place, to love someone who is difficult to love? Humility isn't about thinking less of ourselves. It's actually thinking about ourselves less. It's about making space for others just as Jesus made space for us. So Palm Sunday is the doorway into Holy Week. And we begin with celebration. But we know where that road leads us. And yet, this is not a tragedy. This is a path of love. The same Jesus who rode into Jerusalem on a donkey will kneel to wash our feet. The same Jesus who is praised by the crowds will also be abandoned by them. That same Jesus who emptied himself on the cross will be exalted by God. Paul tells us that because Jesus humbled himself and God raised him up and gave him the name above every other name. Humility is not the end of the story. It is the beginning of resurrection. So today, as we wave palms in our hearts, as we sing our hosannas, as we walk with Jesus into his most holy week, we are invited to follow the upside down King. To trust that humility is not weakness. To believe that love is stronger than fear. To live in a way that reflects the mind of Christ. To let his humility change us, and through us to change the world. So Hosanna, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Amen.